Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that were there in your bulletin, we're in a series that we've entitled Pray Like This. That's how Jesus said to his disciples, you pray like this, giving them a pattern for prayer so that they can confidently communicate with God. And as we've been doing, let's say the Lord's Prayer together this morning. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the word today is act. Act. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And as we've done through each week, we've given a word and we attach ourselves with our Father in heaven. We amaze ourselves with the holiness of God. We align ourselves to his kingdom coming soon. We acquiesce to his will. We ask for our needs. We accept and give forgiveness, and we act against sin. See, that prayer says, look, God, I don't want to yield to temptation. I want you to help me flee the evil one. So what does that mean? How do we put that into practice in our lives today? Well, first of all, we acknowledge the reality of Satan. We acknowledge the reality of Satan. Notice what Jesus says. He says there, look, rescue us from the evil one. The evil one being Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You say, well, Pastor, why are you starting now with this? This seems like, to me, a very simple understanding, and yet, from what I see and what I read, I recognize that it's not. George Barna does a polling, much like Gallup, and according to the Barna survey of, now notice, self-described Christians, okay? They would call themselves a Christian. 78% believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, creator of the universe, and ruler of the universe. 78%. Well, let me just tell you something. That other 22%, they're not Christians. You have to believe God is that. That's who God is. Okay? Now notice, over 50% self-described Christians believe that Satan is not a living being, but a symbol of evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about Satan as an existing entity. He was a created being by God. He rebelled against God, and he is at work today doing everything he can to go against what God wants to do. Satan is real, and he exists. And if you're going to pray this prayer, you have to believe that, because Jesus says you pray and ask God to help you not to give in to temptation and deliver you and keep you from what Satan wants to do in your life. Satan wants to destroy your life. And so Satan is real. And we acknowledge the reality of Satan. We acknowledge the reality of good and evil. All good things come from God. The Bible tells us that. All evil comes from Satan. The Bible tells us that. Ephesians 2:1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He's real. The Bible tells us that. How can over 50% of people who call themselves Christians not believe that? That's just incredible to me. Ephesians 6:10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authority of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits and in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. You see, the battle is not other people. You and I aren't fighting each other. We're in a spiritual battle that Satan is doing everything that he can to destroy us and to work against us. And so you and I have to acknowledge the reality of Satan. He is real and evil exists, and he's doing everything he can to keep you away from God. That's our problem. Don't blame other people for your problems. Satan's the problem. Acknowledge that. Secondly, we accept the fact of trials and temptations. You see, we get saved and we give our life to God and we think, okay, good, God's in my life now, I won't have any more problems. Well, Satan still exists, doesn't he? And so you and I have to understand that in this world, in our life, you and I will have trials and temptations. What do we call this? We call this spiritual warfare. That's the battle that we're against, the trials and temptation that come. And God knows the pain we will feel if we give in to sin. He does everything he can to help us. Now, here's what you have to understand. Make sure you get this clear. God will bring trials into your life to test you. Okay? Satan will take those same trials and tempt you. You do not sin without temptation preceding it. John 16:33. I have told you all of this, Jesus is speaking, so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials. How many? Many. Not just one or two. Many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, when I was a kid, I used to love watching cartoons on Saturday morning. Okay, the cartoons they have today aren't good. They're lousy cartoons, okay? You know, give me things like the Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny and, you know, Yosemite Sam and, you know, those types of things. Those are real cartoons. The rest is wannabes and they, you know, it's just not happening. So it's there. And every once in a while, you would have this image of somebody be there, and they'd show this picture of one of these characters, and on one shoulder would be this little bitty red devil, and on this other shoulder would be this little bitty white angel, and they'd be whispering in their ear. Do you know there's more truth than that, than what we want to believe? You know, you have the Holy Spirit over here who's whispering to you saying, no, don't. No. And you have Satan over here, the devil, his demons, his evil, saying, yes, you can. And in everything you face in life, you will have to deal with the trials and temptations. Now, let's say I have a problem with stealing something. And somebody happens to have a real nice ink pen. You know, those are almost gone anymore, but they have a real nice one there, and they're not paying attention. And I look at it and think, I'd like to have that. Now, as I look at that and consider it, I have a choice to make. God has given me a trial to test me to see if I will do what's right and obey him. Right? That's what God's saying. Look, you can overcome this. You don't have to give in to this. You don't need to do this. Grow in your faith. Don't do that. At the same point, there's this other voice in me that is more me than I care to admit, saying, take it. Nobody will know. You know you want it. You deserve it. You should have it. They're trying to tempt me to do wrong. In everything you face in life, you have those two voices coming at you, dealing with you. One, God saying, look, don't give in. Grow in your faith. Grow in God. Do what's right. You can do this. And another one said, no, you can't. You need to. You deserve it. You can do this. You don't have. And that's a battle. One's a trial to test your faith. You see, you say you believe God, but the Bible tells us you demonstrate your love for God by your obedience to him. Correct? The other one is, Satan says, look, you don't need to do what he says. And there's that constant pull, isn't there? James 1:12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Notice how it puts them together. Afterward, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God's tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Notice that. God never tempts you to do wrong. God is there. God is wanting you to do right. Temptation comes from our own desires, evil desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So we have to understand that you and I will constantly have to face trials and temptations in our life. And what we want to do is respond in such a way that, as according to the prayer, God, help me not to turn the opportunities of testing into tragedies of temptation and defeat. That's the constant battle, the warfare that you and I are in every day. That's why this prayer is so important, isn't it? God, today, help me not to give in to temptation. Don't let me yield to that. Because God, today, I'm going to face some trials. I'm going to be tempted. I need your help. That's a great prayer. Thirdly, we are aware of our weaknesses. We are aware of our weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, and when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, let me just tell you something. Sometimes the way out is a simple thing. It simply says, you say no. Okay? You say no. But here's the deal. What is your weakness? What is it that tempts you more than anything else? What is it you struggle with? There's that battle going on, isn't there? You see, Satan knows us so well. He knows our habits. He knows what we're like. But so does God. And Satan allows things to come into your life at your weakness. You see, we pray that nothing will bring us into temptation. Nothing will bring us to that point of our weakness. God, please help me not to fall into a situation where I am vulnerable because this is my weakness. Now, please hear me. If you just say, well, it's okay, I can handle it, you're a fool. You don't understand the Bible. You know how easily you could fall. You know how weak you are. And so you ask God to help you. See, if you're going to have a victory here in not doing things that are wrong and not doing those things that aren't pleasing God, you're going to have to understand what you struggle with. For some of you, you struggle with an attitude. You know who you are. And if you don't, the people around you do. Okay? For some of you, it's the struggle with a habit. For some of you, it's a struggle with things in the past. But you have something you struggle with. And if you want to be victorious over it, you have to be willing to own it, so to speak, to admit it. I struggle in this area. I have a problem here. And you got to be willing to recognize that. Hebrews 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we can find grace to help us when we need it most. So what God says is this: look, I don't care what you're dealing with and what your habit is and what your problem is and where you struggle the most. Here's what I'm going to tell you. When Satan is there trying to get you, and when you're sinful nature is there pulling you towards that, you've got to understand, I'm going to be there through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I will provide for you a way out of that. You don't have to give in to it. I will show you how you can not do it. Now, please hear me. If you think doing what's right is just an easy little path, you're mistaken. It's hard to do what's right, but it's always beneficial. It's easy to do what's wrong, but it's always going to cost you. So you and I come to that place where we are very much aware of, here's the area that I tend to struggle with. Do you know what yours is? You should. When you know that, next, we avoid the places we are weak. We avoid the places we are weak. Please hear me. The best way to avoid sin is to avoid temptation. You prove how strong you are and how wise you are, not by how you deal with being tempted, but by how far you get away from temptation. So in other words, if I know I have a weakness, I need to stay away from those areas that tend to draw me in at the weakest point. And I need to avoid them. Oh, I can handle it. Let me say it again. I'll say it in a little different way. You're an idiot. Okay? No, you can't. You're not that strong. You think, oh, I can do it. No, you can't. And so you take the steps that are necessary to avoid the issue that you struggle with. You stay away from those places of temptation. You stay away from those people who drag you down. You stay away from the attitude that you know will hurt you. You come to a place where you recognize, this is my area of weakness. Now, what do I need to do to put myself as far away from that as I can? Now, please hear me. Satan will always provide a way to come after you. And you can stay away from it, and you should, but he will find you. But if you're going to win the battle, you have to do everything within your power to keep yourself out of certain situations and out of certain places and from being around certain people who are going to hurt you. All right? Now, when I'm talking about certain people who are going to hurt you, I'm talking about people that you know if you go with them, they're going to go certain places, they're going to do certain things, and you're going to be tempted to do it with them. I'm not talking about someone, well, you know what, I just don't like that person, so they, you know, I need to stay away from them because they tempt me to have a bad attitude. You'll catch that later, okay? Avoid the places that I'm weak. Don't think you can handle it. Don't think you don't have a problem. Don't think it isn't a big deal. You need to do whatever you can to remove it as far away from you as you can. Romans 13:11. This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night's almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. See, the moment you start thinking about, man, if I go here, I could do this and like that, you need to get that thought out of your mind and you need to put your mind on something that's more positive. That's why it's important to communicate with God. That's why this prayer becomes critical. That's why it's important to know God's word. You start reading scripture. See, sometimes to avoid temptation, it's not just what you stay away from, it's also then what you do while you're staying away. And you need to take the steps that you can to help yourself be a more godly person and be stronger in the Lord. That's why the Bible says you put on the whole armor of God. You deal with his word. You deal with what's true. You put yourself in that place. Well, I'll just try to deal with it. You're going to blow it. You're not going to make it. God, help me not to willingly walk into a situation that I know will lead me into temptation. That's a part of that prayer. God, I am purposeful in staying away from where I am tempted the most. Got it? Then we ask God to help us. We're aware of our weakness. We avoid the places we're weak, and we ask God to help us. I mean, verses we've already read is telling us God wants to help you not fail. God wants you to pass the test. God wants you to grow in your faith. And so you have to ask for help. You see, if you think, well, I don't need any help, I can do this on my own, you can fill in the blank with whatever you want to use there, okay? Whatever word you're comfortable with. You're not thinking clearly, are you? You're not going to make it. The moment somebody says something like that, they're doomed to fail. You need help. Well, I don't want anybody to know. Okay, so let me get this straight. You would rather struggle with sin and give in to sin and not please God than to get some help that you could use. What's with that? Well, I'm strong enough. No, you're not. You need help. And begins with asking God to help. And the Bible is very clear in many places. He says, you know what? We stand together and we help one another. Here's what we don't like. I'll just give you the root of what's going on here. We don't want to be accountable. Well, how are you doing with this? It's none of your business. We hide it. See, if you're hiding something in your life, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And if you're hiding something in your life, you're failing. So you've got to come to a place where you're willing to say, God, I need help. And God might say, okay, I've put this person in your life to help you. Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. You see, I need help. And when you're facing the temptation and you got the two little things on your shoulder and each one of you call it, that's where you turn, God, help me. And you begin to pray. You pray in the Spirit. You begin to allow God to be the strength that you need. God wants to help you. Now, please hear me. God wants to help you, but he will not do it for you. You have to take steps. You have to be willing to cooperate with what God wants to do. And let me just tell you something I've kind of learned over the years. Usually what you want to do is what you don't want to do. What you should do is what you don't want to do. I'll just wait for that to sink in. You might want to write that down because it's usually it. Hebrews 2:18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. He's given us his word. It's the greatest manual to help you in your problems in your life. It's the greatest advice giver there is to deal with sin and temptation. And God says, when you're facing a trial, I want to help you pass the test. We ask God for help. We need help. We take action. We recognize where we're vulnerable. We recognize what our weakness is. Lord, please help me not to give in to temptation. Deliver me from what Satan wants to do in tempting me and causing me to do wrong. And I begin to be aware of what I'm going to do. And I'm going to take the right steps in my life to stay as far away from the things that tempt me as I possibly can. And God, with your help, I can do this. See, here's the problem. We want a magic potion. We want somebody to sprinkle some fairy dust over us. We want somebody to pray a prayer over us and just deliver us so we don't have any more problems ever again. But we don't want to have to fight. And we don't want to have to do what's right. And we don't want to have to make good, solid choices based on God's word, not based on my feelings and my desires at the moment. God says, I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll provide you a way. I've given you my word. I've given you my spirit. I'll be there to be with you through this time. I'll direct your steps. I'll let you know the right thing to do. But you're going to have to do it. Let me take it a step farther just to be sure we understand it. We gently and humbly help another believer. Now, I've said sometimes we have to ask for help. I want to make sure this is very clear to all of us here, that you and I have a responsibility to help people in their walk with God. Please hear this. Listen to me. You never approach a fallen Christian with a finger-pointing attitude. If you're critical and judgmental, shame on you. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. We're not going to be a place that we just judge people. The church exists to help people, to make them feel in a place where they can ask for help and get the help that they need without being criticized, without being judged. Galatians 6:1, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly. You know what it says? If you can't help somebody who's overcome by sin, it means you're not a godly person. If all you can do is talk about them and badmouth them and gossip about them, you're not godly. You who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Isn't that a great line? You know, you think you got it all together? Be careful. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I like it. Boy, that's just great, isn't it? See, if you're not careful, your self-righteousness will disqualify you from helping and being a blessing to other people. God wants to use us to help one another. But you are to help restore. You are not there to condemn. Well, why don't you just do this, this, and this? Yeah, why don't you take some of your own medicine? And so you and I have to understand that in the church, we are the people who recognize we all struggle. We all have our issues, some more visible than others, but they're there. We all need help. We need a lot of help. And because we need help and recognize our need for help, who better to help other people who need help? Because you see, when you and I and others join together, we become stronger because we can be accountable to each other. We don't kick them to the street. We don't criticize what they do. Well, but that sin's disgusting. All sin is disgusting. So we humbly and gently help other people, other believers. Last point. We approach our trials with confidence. We approach our trials with confidence. You mean, I know I'm going to have some trials and temptations this week, and I'm going to have some testings. You mean I need to be confident about this? You bet you do. Notice Romans 5:3. We can rejoice. Are you kidding me? We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And we, in endurance, develop strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. See, we're all into fitness, physical fitness, and that's fine. But, you know, we'll go to the gym, we'll work out, you'll lift weights. And what do weights do? Weights are putting stress and strain on muscles so that they will grow, correct? And if you want to be more fit, you have to put stress and strain there in order for that to happen. Do you understand that your faith is like a muscle, and that if you want it to grow, you have to put stress and strain on it so that it can grow? And when a trial comes into your life, it is an opportunity for you to build the muscle of faith. It is an opportunity for your faith to get stronger. And so you look at the trial and the temptation that's there. You look at the test that's before you and you say, you know what, God? This is another opportunity for me to grow in you and to be a stronger Christian. Now, Satan looks at it as, I want to tell you how weak you are. I want to tell you your inability to be victorious. I want to talk to you about how you're not a Christian. You call yourself a Christian and you do that. And God's over here saying, look, walk away from it. Don't do it. And I want you to grow in me, and I want you to be rejoicing because look at how you avoided this and how you become stronger in your faith. James 1:12. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, not needing nothing. You'll be whole. You'll be strong. And so one of the main purposes of testing is to increase our faith. You read the story of the Old Testament. When God made promises to people, man by the name of Abraham, God said this. And then what did God do next? He tested him. Joseph, God put him in a certain place. Why? To test him. So that his faith could grow. And God still does that today with you and I. God, we pray, give me the faith I need to accept this trial and to use it for your glory. Deepen my roots. Increase my faith. Help me to turn this testing into triumph and not temptation and failure. Father, heaven, help us with temptation and keep us from what the evil one wants to do in our lives. Great prayer. Great prayer. Jesus prayed this prayer to his Father. Talks about us. John 17. Now I'm coming to you, Jesus said, I'm coming to the Father. I told them, disciples and the people, many things while I was with them in this world so they'd be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Now, I would like that prayer to be changed, and I'd like for him to take me out of the world, right? I don't want to have to fight, but I got to fight. Keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Your word. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to grow in your faith. Trials, tests, and temptations are a part of life. God is there to help you. And if your faith is going to grow, you're going to have to pass the tests that come your way. And God will help you do that. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't you dare say, well, I've been battling this and it just seems like I can't get victory over this. Yes, you can. God is here to help you. Fight. Use His Word. Allow His Spirit to help you. Allow other people to help you. And do what you can do so that you can be victorious and strong in faith. And as you and I come before the Father, we pray, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.